As I got halfway to shore, I found the poison moved down my left-hand side and found someone had smashed me in my kidneys as it doubled me back in the stern of the boat. It then continued to move, and I could feel it moving and numbing out my right leg as I continued to get to shore. The boat hit the shore, and the young kid motioned for me to stand up, and he was going to help me. As I stood up, I found myself collapsed into the bottom of the boat. My whole right side seemed to have gone numb. He then grabbed me, I grabbed his neck, grabbed my paralyzed right arm, and he dragged me out, up the sandy coral beach, up through the coconut plantation, up onto the main road in Rivière Noire. Now, I've got a real long story, and I don't have time to go into intricate detail. I'm going to jump some of the detail and try and get to the real core of what the experience was. Okay? This young kid panicked when he got me up onto the road and pointed back to the ocean and went, "Mon frère, sur la plage." I tried to get him to get an ambulance, a hospital, a telephone, anything, and he took off, leaving me half paralyzed and half dead there. The poison was so quick that I literally started to slip into a coma, which would have been certain death. As I'm just about to close my eyes, not realizing what's happening, a quiet and a gentle voice said, "Son, if you close your eyes, you shall never awake again." Wait, what? There's no one there, but the voice was so clear. I thought about it. I thought, you can't close your eyes. You've got to get to a hospital. Man, that poison was so quick. I would have died within 10 minutes like everyone else had I not heard that quiet voice literally shake me to fight. It was like a turning point. I stood and fought the poison myself. I was able to balance my right leg and I went down the road looking for help. I found three East Indian taxis there with the taxi drivers just talking to themselves. I asked them, "Will you please take me to the hospital? I'm dying." They said, "Cannot, we have French clients." I said, "I'll give you money." They said, "How much money you give, white boy?" I said, "I give you 50 US, 100 US, anything. Please take me to the hospital." They said, "You show us your money, white boy. We take you in a taxi, huh?" I said, "Look, I don't have the money." And three of them walked away laughing, thinking it was a huge joke. I heard a quiet voice say, "Son, are you willing to beg for your life?" I thought, yes. My left leg was getting weak, so I fell to my knees, I bowed my head, cupped my hands, and begged for my life. Two of them walked away. The third one, with some kind of compassion, came and helped me to my feet, put me in the taxi, and we drove to the hospital. We'd be going about 2 miles down the road, and he started asking me how he's going to get his 50 US dollars. I said, "Man, don't worry about it. I'll get it for you." And he got angry with me. He said, "What hotel are you staying?" I said, "I stay in a bungalow in Tamarind Bay." He said, "Oh, I dropped you at Tamarind Bay Hotel, huh? Tamarind Bay Hotel, you tourists, they look after you." And I'm pleading with them not to. He pulls out in front of the Tamarind Bay Hotel, the village I'm staying in, and commands me to get out. He starts swearing at me. He undoes my safety belt, leans over and undoes the passenger door, and commands me to get out. I try and lift my left leg, I can't. He grabs my shoulder and shoves me straight out of the taxi onto the ground. I remember looking up to watch him try and drive away, but he couldn't because my feet were caught in the door sill. He cups my feet up in his hands, throws them onto the ground, shuts the door, and drives off and leaves me for dead. As I'm lying there thinking about just giving it all up, I thought, if your number's up, do the world a favor, die. I didn't think I was afraid of dying. I thought, if it's happening, just close your eyes, son. And I'm lying there thinking of that, and the security guard finds me on the ground, half paralyzed. He runs over, and it's a familiar friend, it's Danielle. He goes, "Kisafir, Ian, what's happening with you, man? Look at you, how come you're so out of it like this on the ground?" He thought I was stoned or something, got drunk. And he came running over, and I showed him my forearm. As soon as I showed him my forearm, he went, "Invisible, you died with someone tonight." I said, "Oui." He said, "Pardon, invisible, God, safe only for you." He got the gift of encouragement. He just scooped me up in his arms and raced me into the hotel. All the tourists had gone to bed. I remember him carrying me past the swimming pool, running with me in his arms. The three Chinese that owned the hotel, I knew them and they knew me, looked and they were playing poker or mahjong and drinking whiskey by the pool. Danielle dropped me in a chair right next to them. These men looked at me and said, "What's wrong with you, white man? You drunk?" I said, "I need hospitalization. I need hospitalization. Invisible." They didn't understand. I pulled my sleeve up and showed them my forearm. And the young Chinese boy looked He went, he stood up and he went,
"Oh, silly white boy, how come you put the needle in the arm now? Oh, old man, opium. With a pipe, how come you're so stupid you put the needle in the arm lock? Cannot help you, huh?"
Sat down. Thought the marks on my arm were from heroin. I sat there wondering what I was going to do to try and convince them that it wasn't heroin, it was a jellyfish. And my forearm started to twitch and go into contractions. Next minute, my whole body started to go out into muscular contractions. These three Indians tried to three Chinese men jumped up and ran over and tried to hold me physically down. I was throwing them off. I felt an incredible ice cold feeling sweep over my body as I felt death sweep through me. I said, "I'm freezing. Please put blankets on me, please." They got blankets from the rooms and started putting them on me. An old man, the old Chinese man, ran back with a glass of milk and tried to force it down my mouth, thinking I'd ingested a poison. That's why my reaction, not realizing it was in my blood system. As I'm looking at them and wondering what's going to happen next, I feel a deathly cold chill go right into my bone marrow in both feet. I can feel ice cold necrosis coming right into the core of my being. I'm sitting there. I'd studied veterinary science at university when I completed my degree in agriculture, but it does not help to be an intellectual and know how your body dies and you can't do a thing about it. I knew that I was in another stage of death and I was in serious trouble. I looked out into the car park and saw one car in the hotel car park. I knew it belonged to this Chinese man who was standing next to me. I looked him in the eye and said, "Sir, please help me. Please help me and take me in your car to the hospital or I'll die." He put his hand on my shoulder. He looked at the car and said, "Oh, my car, no. Cannot laugh. Wait for ambulance for you, huh? How come you're so worried, white boy? Don't worry, huh? Don't worry. No. Cannot, like, my car cannot lie." I couldn't believe what my ears were hearing. Have you ever felt like hurting someone? You ever felt like hitting someone? I mean, I came so close to hitting this man, it wasn't funny. But I knew that if I hit him, the adrenaline rush could kill me. I turned away so I didn't have to look at his face anymore, because I knew if I did, I might lose my self-control and try and hit him. I looked away and thought, "Man, if I get through this, you're history." "I'm going to teach you a lesson in humanity you'll never forget. What to do with a dying man and what not to do." I'm here contemplating what I could do with this man to educate him about humanity. And Danielle appears out of nowhere with another security guard, grabs me and races me towards the hotel entrance. To my amazement, here comes an ambulance. Danielle had rung one. They get me into an ambulance and take off to the hospital. As they race me to the hospital, before my eyes, I start to see a small, snowy-headed young boy, and then it got a bit older. And I'm wondering, what's this? It's like a video clip. And then I suddenly realize that the boy that I'm looking at is myself. I am seeing my own life flash before me. As I'm looking at this, I am confronted really for the first time, is there life after death? Am I going to die? And I mean, it was shaking me to the core. You know what I mean? Is this real? Am I going to die? And as I'm thinking about that, I see a clear picture, like in a vision, of my mother, and it looks as though she's praying for me. As I'm looking at her, she's speaking to me and saying, "Ian, no matter how far you may find yourself from God, if you will but cry out to God from your heart, God will hear you and God will forgive you." As I heard what she said, I thought in my heart, I am a million miles away from anything godly. I know. And then I thought, which God do you cry out to? I had seen thousands of them in the East. And I'm looking, wondering what God. My mother's face reappears and I realize that my mother has only ever prayed to a Christian God. My mother is the only believer in our entire family. And as I'm looking at her, I'm thinking, what Christian prayer could a man pray, if it is a Christian God, that could you before you die? As a child, my mother had only ever taught me the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven. As a child, I'd prayed that many, many times. As a lather, I thought, I'll pray that. That's the only Christian prayer that I've ever learnt. And as I lay there trying to think of the Lord's Prayer, my mind went completely blank and I could not remember it. My mother's face continuing to appear said, son, pray from your heart. I'm thinking, Mum, my heart is like stone. You could strike a match on it. And I lay there and said, God, if you're real and this is real, help me to pray the only Christian prayer that I've ever been taught. If there's anything soft left in my heart, if there's anything good left in there, please help me to remember the Lord's Prayer. As I said that, words immediately appeared before my eyes. The first words that appeared were, forgive us our sins. I thought, that's part of the Lord's Prayer, but it's not in the right order. But I thought, well, that's what I've got, I'll try and pray it. I realized, I said, God, I feel a million miles away from you. If you're real and you can hear me, I ask you sincerely from my heart to forgive me of every evil and wicked thing I've ever done in my life. I feel like a hypocrite in praying to you on my deathbed. I do not have time to list all the sins I've committed because I am dying. But if you can, please forgive me of every evil deed I've ever committed. I prayed that sincerely in the depth of my heart. Those words disappeared and a new set of words came up. It said, forgive those who have sinned against you. As I saw those words, I thought, that's easy. I've never by nature been an aggressive or an angry kind of person. I thought, I can forgive people. It's easy to do. As I said that, the face of the Indian taxi driver appeared before me. I thought to myself, what is he doing here? And the voice said, will you forgive him for pushing you out of his taxi tonight and leaving you for dead in front of a hotel? Oh, I don't believe it. Wasn't planning to. I mean, I had no plans for that one. Before I could think too much more about him, up came the Chinese man. And the voice said, will you forgive him? Oh, I don't believe it. I suddenly realized that this wasn't just a head trip prayer. This is where the rubber meets the road. I realized that this wasn't Santa Claus and the Tooth Fairy. Sorry, kids. But I thought this might be actually real. This wasn't some adult's kind of fantasy land. This actually could be true. The trouble was, these men's faces would not disappear until from my heart I forgave them. I could get no more of the prayer. I lay there and said, God, if you can forgive me of my sins, I will forgive these men what they've done to me. I will never touch them. I will never lay hands upon them and seek no vengeance. Their faces immediately disappeared as though someone had heard what I said. More words appeared. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As I saw those words, I thought, God, I've been doing my own thing for 24 years. Does that mean I have got to literally humble myself and turn over the reins to you? I felt God say yes. I said, God, I do not know what your will is for me. I know I am not living it at this point in my life, but if I come through this experience, I will sincerely find out what your will is and try and accomplish it all the days of my life. The rest of the prayer came, but they were the three most important aspects of the prayer that I remember. I prayed the whole prayer for the first time in my life and felt an incredible peace inside my heart. Yet I was still dying physically. The ambulance door opened and they raced me into the hospital in a wheelchair. The nurses took my blood pressure and could barely find a pulse. The doctors saw my blood pressure results and saw the condition that I was in and what had happened to me when I explained to them about the jellyfish, and they raced me down a corridor. I was surrounded by doctors and nurses and orderlies, and the old doctor, Indian doctor, crouched in front of me and said, son, I do not know if you can hear me or understand me, but I am going to try and save your life. Now try and keep your eyes open. Well, I heard that way back on the road.